Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Colored Steel running things behind the scenes at a little after 5:20 this afternoon. Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers. As man, it is counting down and fast as next Sunday the Tigers play University of Southern California Trojans. Bobby, you got a text you want to read.
Yeah, we had this, look at the top of the hour, this from 51-47. You know, I talk about bragging on the Saints defense compared to where I think the offense is at. And, you know, we always say, Mike, can you win two out of three phases? Can you win defense special teams? And ultimately, even though the rules have changed, you know, I still think if you can run the ball, stop the run and all that stuff. But anyway, he goes on to say Saints defense will break down with injuries. Oh, that's pessimistic. Five or six games into the season because the offense will be so anemic. The defense will end up as bad as the offense. I think even if we have injuries, they won't end up as bad as the offense. I have confidence in our defense. Now, ultimately, you want it to be top five. I think we have the depth and we'll be a top 10 defense. And more importantly, I always look at scoring defense. You know, what the amount of points you've given up when all said and done. Now he says, and he goes on to say, yeah, that the offense will be as bad as the defense will be as bad as the offense. And he says the offense, this is kind of funny, the offense will have more three and outs than Louisiana has bad drivers. So, yeah.
That's a long list.
Now, Mike, with the three and outs, I was kind of concerned with that starting the preseason. I know it's preseason, but just looking at Derek Carr and company on the offense, if you look at the Cardinals and 49ers game, five possessions into the preseason, we finally got on track. And then we had an unbelievable drive. it was like feast or famine. You know, Mike, that's like a post. You go 16 plays, 95 yards, and a touchdown. So it wasn't those gimme type drive, but after five possession preseason, the first unit finally got on track. And you look the first team, you look at it, wasn't so much the case with the 49ers, the first team offense. We went back to back three and outs, marking another slow start, like I said, like we had with the Cardinals and the 49ers. Then we had that long drive. So, no, that would not surprise me that at times, come on, we got to give the defense a rest. Might not score, but at least get a couple of first downs. Don't go three and out in that regard. But
what he brought up brings up something that we talked about quite a bit at the Louisiana Line Camp. They had 13 NFL coaches there, and all of them said the key to success on defense, getting off the field on third down.
Oh, yeah.
Where did the Saints rank on that third down conversion chart? You might have to look that up.
Yeah.
When you think about it, man, if you can get a couple of quick, you know, three and outs, you're not on the field.
The Saints defense, Mike, off the top of my head, and this is the target. If you're amongst the best, you're like the Browns or whoever, you're like, who's the top defenses? No, the Saints are a top five third down defense. And usually you're giving up 28 to like 33% conversion. So in other words, if you round that off, let's say
you round 30%,
did your job. No, so exactly. Yeah. If you have 10 third downs and they only successfully was 3 of 10, that's winning football. And you're giving your offense a lot of opportunities and you're getting off the field. Like, for instance, Mike, if we can do this way we work against the 49ers. I know it's just preseason, but they were 5 of 15, 33%. 5 of 15, 30%, that's outstanding. And so I think that's where we're going to be defensively. Now, offensively, it was terrible. Now we made some fourth down conversions. We went for it, but we were 1 of 11 on third down.
Yow.
No, that has to be, if you really click, and I've been part of a team, it was either 91 or 92, we led the NFL. We were 48.5%. on third down, which led the NFL.
That's really strong.
And then one season, I want to say, with Drew Brees and all, like we were like at 54%, 50, yeah. Which is that's almost like record setting. So you want to be, as an offense, can we be somewhere like, let's say, 45% conversion? But defensively, 28-32, then you're amongst the best, and you're getting off the field on third down. Now, what's interesting, I guess – I was going to say another word. I can't say it on the air. But isn't coordinators or offensive coordinators getting more courageous, or head coaches? Hell with it. Are we going for it on fourth down? You know, I think in the old days you would never see that.
Never see it.
But now you have teams, screw it. We going for it on fourth down.
And they put and packages in for that fourth down play.
And I think when you break it down and analyze the percent, who's the crazy coach just got fired with the Chargers? He went for it like on fourth down in his own 20-yard line. What are you doing?
Yeah, and that's Brandon Staley.
Yeah, that's not wise. But, yeah, it seems like you see that more. But, third down is significant, and that's why penalties come into play, too. Let's say you have a good play or not. Mike, you know it was the worst drive, the best defense to kill offensive drive? The offense has a penalty. You know what the odds when it's first and 20? You ain't making the first down. You ain't sustaining that drive. It's hard enough, you know, when you got first and 10 to be able to continue and have those long drives. But you behind the eight ball when you like first and 15 or you had a good play. Now it's second and 13 or something. That's what you got to avoid, those penalties when you're trying to move the change and control the tempo of a game.
Let's go to Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text lines. Go to Bottom Man. Bottom Man, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bobby.
Good evening to you all, and thank you all for me not seeing y'all yesterday when I was at the practice trying to get in touch with y'all. But that's all right.
And I know, Bottom Man, we were in the press box, but you were hanging out in the stands. You probably had a good time, huh?
Man, let me tell you something. God is good. Miss Benson signed my cap again. Alante Taylor held my hand. We was in prayer mode. We were praying about winning the Super Bowl. Talked to DeMario Davis about his wife because I helped her serve food at E.L. Davis Park years ago.
Awesome. And keep praying for us, Bottom Man.
Yes, sir. Sir?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep praying for us.
Yeah, I finally pray together, stay together. I've never felt, Bob, again, happy belated birthday. My birthday next week, I'll be 69. I never felt like I felt being at the stadium. It's on our mind, man. You can feel it in the air, Bob.
Oh, so you say there's a reason for the season? You talking about a Super Bowl season, Bottom Man, or what?
That's what I'm talking about, raising cages. Yes, sir.
I just hope we make the playoffs. I just hope to give the fans hope. Win the NFC South, host a playoff game, and win it. Anything can happen after that.
He's been in heavy prayer about that, Bottom Man. Believe me.
See, from the prayers we're getting, it's the prayers that we receive. Those who first shall be last, and those who last shall be first. They also know that no call stop us from getting another Super Bowl. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that to us. That's why they have so much destruction. So God's going to do like he did Noah. He's going to tell them, build your ark like we're doing now. We're building an ark right now. We got speed now, Bob. I keep telling you. Watch Chris Olave and Rasheed and all them youngsters we got and them old men on defense. Hey, Alante Taylor, he got it on his mind.
He has really turned out to be a really good football player.
And he's playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and I think last year he felt uncomfortable when they put him inside
in
the slot.
I'm an outside corner. I don't want to play the slot.
But now he's embraced that.
Yep, yep.
And that fact that he can play both, I think from everything we've heard,
man, help him get paid.
He's one of the stalwarts. And eventually you get paid. Even as a slot corner,
slot
you're getting
outside,
paid a lot of money today.
Flexibility. Yeah. Mike, no, he got some swagger. Alante Taylor, you know, you look at like improvements and where you're at, and we weren't familiar with Chase Young, but now you mentioned like, okay, who really stood out and seemed that consistency and always available? Chase Young and Alante Taylor. They were outstanding.
Because none of us would have had that on the dance card. Chase Young, all those practices that he was actually in. Because we thought we might see him right before the start of the season. You got all those practice sessions and two preseason games.
Well, if it's an obvious passing down and you're not going NASCAR, let's say, because you could still run the ball second and nine, but if you think they might pass, if you take the top two defensive ends right now, and I love, I love Cam Jordan. I think it might be Chase Young and Carl Grant.
Ain't no thinking.
Right, you know,
that's
I mean,
what
I'm
it's
not
gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's but be. Cam still, I think he'll be
top notch.
Yeah,
kick him inside.
But still top notch on first down to stop
his ability to stop the run.
Yeah.
So underrated
exactly.
in this league. We'll be back with more sports talk and Blake Ruffino talking LSU Tigers right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from the Are You Serious Sports Network covering the LSU Tigers, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always, Mike. I appreciate y'all having me.
Blake, I wanted to ask you, this is the last time we had you on, and we kind of run out of time a little bit, but so I'll throw it to you first. How is the offense going to look differently from a year ago? You got a new offensive coordinator now with Joe Sloan. I knew what he ran, certainly, at Louisiana Tech, and I think it's going to be somewhat of a blend of that. But, man, you got four of your five starting offensive linemen returning with Josh Williams, with Caleb Jackson in the backfield. Garrett, I think, in a lot of ways, reminds me of a young Baker Mayfield when he was at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on how differently this offense will look from a year ago, and not all because of Jaden Daniels, but because of Joe's outlook on how he wants to run an offense?
Well, Mike, just off the top, 12, 13 personnel, you know, they were in multiple packages today. Again, huddle, okay, with comms and mics, going from a huddle in 12 and 13 personnel, running the football, bootleg, things like that, Mike, I think is going to be very different. But I'm not going to say that they're going to be more dink and dunk. You know, I'm not going to say that because Garrett's got a big arm. They will take shots. But, Mike, you're going to see the ball out pretty quickly. Like, they want to get 8, 9, 10 yards and move the chains. Last year I felt like there were a lot of shots that Jaden took over the middle that were beyond the sticks. I think this year with big body wide receivers like Kyron and CJ, you're going to see things, Mike, that are closer to, you know, a little bit ahead of the sticks, especially on first and second down when it calls for it. That's what we've seen. Now, of course, you have guys like Aaron Anderson who, Mike, I got to admit, I was very bullish on Aaron Anderson a year ago. I backed off of it because, you know, just for reasons told, obviously. But they're going to get Aaron Anderson the football very early. I mean, from what we've seen. So I think just the 12, 13 personnel that they've run in the running game, going out of huddle, going under center, is something that they really want to do, and they really want to establish that running game. So, look, you did that a lot in 22, especially when you got inside the 20s, but not like what you're doing right now. Mike, I explained this to Bill King this morning. It's like Notre Dame with better weapons, you know, on the outside. You're just going to see better personnel on the outside, and I think that that's more of what we've seen. They've run more hitch routes than any West Coast offense has ever done that I've seen in my life.
Now, Blake, you talk about the outside, but how about on the inside? I'm looking at this because this is kind of Coach Kelly's wheelhouse. I'm looking at Mason Taylor, and you look at the tight end position. To me, what's interesting is that I think LSU will use two tight end sets probably more often this season than it did last season. And in my understanding, Pimpton has improved as a blocker. But you look at Mason Taylor, and I look at, okay, what's that relationship when you look at the quarterback, you and Nussmeier, with Nuss? Remember, like, a career high, he caught 7 passes for 88 yards in the bowl game in the win over Wisconsin.
Right.
That was Nussmeier's first career start at the end of last season. So, to me, that just naturally puts him as one of Nuss's top targets based on what have you done for him lately in that last game they played.
Yeah, I told Bobby in the red zone, just make sure you get it to Trey Dez.
You
can't overthrow him.
Look, you can't. And look, to the part of what we've seen, there's a reason Mac Markway went in the portal. His name's Kamarion Pimpton.
Yeah.
all right, now, this kid can play. Now, this kid can catch. I mean, there's been multiple times that they've gone to either one of them on third down. You know, what's interesting, every third down we saw in this team drill today and every third down that we saw on this past Saturday, he either threw it to Mason Taylor or C.J. Daniels. It's the only two he looked for. So, I mean, just in and of itself, it feels like that's where he wants to target to get first downs, meaning Nussmeier. So, look, bootlegs, the things that they've done in 12 personnel, the action behind the personnel getting, out of the play action is getting somebody into the flat. They ran a corner route with a corner and then a wheel route with Mason Taylor twice today that scored. I mean, look, both touchdowns coming from Mason Taylor today. I think that was something that had been seen early in camp, but Kamari and Pimpton had really picked it up in the middle, and then today, Mason Taylor was pretty unbelievable.
Blake, when you look at it, let's give you a trivia question. You would think we'd have maybe in the history of LSU football better numbers by the tight end, but Mason Taylor's only 17 catches and 191 yards away from setting two LSU tight end career receiving records.
He's going to get it by week three.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so you think about that. That's Jason Taylor, the pops, you look at that gene pool, he got to be proud of that, Mason making the decision to come to LSU, and then you're the record holder in history.
No doubt. Look, I said this the other night. That tight end room, even with the Peterson kid, the walk-on, if you put those four, I know your basketball is played with five, but if you put those dudes on the unit, like in a basketball team, good luck. They're freaks of athletes. They're legitimate freaks. Like, for example, Kamari and Pinson today on the corner route, and then on Saturday, back to the end zone, mosses two defenders and comes down with it. By the way, I haven't even mentioned Trey Ed Green.
Yeah.
That is why I think that when you look at that room as a whole, if somebody told me right now, Blake, I think the tight end room is the most athletic room on this team. I'm not batting an eye when someone says that. And I think Trey Ed Green, look, the things that they've done with him in the red zone have been very innovative, highly innovative. So I think that room in and of itself is going to have a massive year.
Now, Blake, everybody has, the positives or concerns. I'm going to tell you one concern, offense and defense. I like where Nussmeier was at, backing up Jane Daniels. But right now, God forbid, but, you got to be prepared. Injury to Nussmeier, that wouldn't be too good for the offense. And I think all of a sudden that we got to run a whole lot more. I mean, no backup quarterback has really stepped up. I want you to comment on that. And then also on the defensive side, obviously fans ask me, you look in the trenches, but even in the secondary, are you more concerned – not the star safety with Major Burns, but more to a safety position with Gilbert or Allen or the cornerback position, and where are we at with that as far as with Stamps, Sage Ryan, all. So would you say maybe the safety or what?
Blake, don't say safety because those kids back there, and I'm talking about people like Juwan Johnson and Deshaun Spears, Colin Jackson.
But, yeah, that's the star safety. I'm talking about the other safety. I'm not talking about the guy they have. But the Juwan Johnson, they're backing up Major Burns and all them. I'm talking about the other safety.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what Deshaun and Colin Jackson, they're going to be backing up the safety. Those two young kids, they're not going to be sitting and watching for long. But they're going to be playing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from the USC game going – I'm kind of worried about that. Not the star safety, the other safety. What's your take on that?
Yeah,
Blake?
I would say corner, and this would be the only reason, Bobby, would be – once Ashton Stamps and Sage Ryan go down, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Like you're in serious trouble. And I'm not trying to be rude. I don't mean that to be rude to any kid. You're in serious trouble. Sage Ryan was out today. They were in serious trouble. And Nuss, once he completed one pass to Kyron Lacy, he was like, all right, it's going to be a long day for J.K. Johnson. And it was. So, look, I think Jordan Allen, if I'm being honest, Jordan Allen's had a really good camp, a really solid camp.
Okay.
He was the one this past Saturday. I mean, his run fits have been really good. He came down on Caleb Jackson this past Saturday when they're going scrimmage. And, look, he's taken on a 235-pound back and hit him right at the line of scrimmage for no gain. If he's going to do that to a 235-pound back, I feel confident that he will do it to others. Here's the thing with Jordan Gilbert. I worry about him, though, Bobby, to your point. I worry about him getting lost in coverage. I really do. So there have been times where they've been very boom or bust, But if Stamps goes down or Sage Ryan's out, I really fear that you could be in trouble. I say that, though. P.J. Woodland, the freshman from Hattiesburg, has been pretty solid at times. But, again, you're throwing out a freshman that's 175 pounds out there. That, I mean, the kid just had some issues when it comes to – like, they put him out there today. They ran a bubble screen to him. I mean, you got Tyron Lacy versus P.J. Woodland, and that's a mismatch when it comes to blocking on the outside. So, I don't know, Bobby. I feel like flip a coin. I'm not trying to cop out on your question here. In reference to quarterback, we're in serious trouble if Nuss goes down. We're in serious trouble. And I think A.J. Swan could be serviceable from the 20 to the 20. Once you get him in that condensed red zone, he has had massive, massive troubles. But the opposite has been for Ricky Collins. When Ricky's in between the 20s, okay, he has issues. Once Ricky's gotten down to the red zone, he will pull it and run. And I mean, his athleticism is getting you touchdowns or getting that second unit touchdown. So if God forbid Nuss went down, I don't know if – I have no clue who goes in there because both of them have had some – it's not like Nuss the last 2 years – where, like, okay, well, your backup role is pretty established. He can come in and do what he needs to do. This is not that instance. So, like, for next fall camp, we'll go out there. It's going to be the Bryce Underwood show. LSU fans are going to be, oh, here they go talking about Bryce Underwood again. But the problem with that is that kid's right now more talented. I thought BK said something interesting today, Bobby. You know who this kid Colin Hurry can really spin that thing now. So I know he's 17 years old, but if you're talking about a pure overall thrower of the three that are backups,
Colin Hurley
is by far. Like, look, I know that the takes in sports, what we do, when people say it's not even close, it's overused. Well, I'm about to use it. It's not close.
Okay.
That kid can really spin it. The problem is that his decision making is like a 17-year-old too.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's some development. Yep. There with him. Going back to the safety position, what you've seen of Deshaun Spears and also Colin Jackson, we brought it up. And that's why I talked about this, that, man, listen, with Gilbert and Jordan Allen, you know, they're the starters. But behind them, you got two young bucks that are ready to play. What you've seen of practice evaluation on Kylan and also Deshaun Spears?
Deshaun Spears can really cover. He can really move for that length and size. I think for him, look, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody here when I say this. I just don't know. I really don't know how they're going to keep him off the field because of the way he covers. I really don't. You know, on Saturday, he came in with the first unit and picked off. It was either, I think it was Collins or Swan. But they were doing different reps and rotations. But the first team offensive line and running backs and receivers were in there, and he comes down with a pick in the red zone, and so like he's had multiple times not only this camp but in spring, he's just kind of been all over the place. If I'm being honest, the kid can really play. In reference to Colin Jackson, you got to get him close to the box because the kid's going to come down full steam ahead and he's going to try to knock your head off. Regardless if he makes the play or not, he's going to headhunt for you. The issue, Mike, that I think that why Colin has not taken that next step with that first team and gotten those reps has been that he's been out of position in coverage. And, you know, sometimes it's gotten busted on him. However, in the running game, that kid can really play. And he's going to come up and tackle you, and he's going to really do some good things. So I think that those two young guys behind the guys that are starting, they're more athletic. But, decision-making just got to get better.
Chris Hilton was a guy we saw last year. He got open. Problem is, does he catch the ball? Because it was 50-50 last year. I remember we doing the post game.
Well, Mike, that was also with Kyron Lacy. Remember at one time he was dropping passes.
And Kyron's gotten much better at it. He's much more consistent.
Exactly.
We doing the post game for the Ole Miss game. Herb Tyler and I saw the replay. And Herb was like, Mike, the ball went right through Chris's hands on the final play. So when we said it, man, we got all kind of people call it, oh, man, y'all not watching the same game. Man, that was a bad pass by Jaden Daniels.
It was right there.
It was right there. It went right through his hands on that deal. Chris, from everything I've heard, has become a more consistent receiver. And you talk about a dude who can haul tail. It's Chris Hilton. He can flat out fly out on the field. From what you've seen as a route runner, I think he got better last year. He got open. It's confidence in him making the catch more than anything.
No doubt. No doubt, Mike. And look, he's been solid this camp catching the football. I think everybody has, you know, to be honest. There's not been many drops in these 7-on-7, 11-on-11 periods. I think I could count on two fingers the drops that I've seen, and I really mean that. I have not seen a lot. Now, again, you know, does that translate on the field? In reference to Chris has really become a more smoother route runner inside 1 through 10. I think that, you know, the multiple slants that he's caught, taking him, you know, 12, 15 yards because of his speed has been something that he's worked on. I know that he's like 175, 180. He just looks bigger. You know what I mean? Like, I know the stat line says he might be 180, but he looks bigger and he looks leaner. So I think that he's had a very solid camp. You know, in reference to hands, Mike, a couple of days ago, he had a catch one-handed, kind of like Odell on the back of the end zone. Oh. So the kid has really done some good things catching the football. I think for him, he's just got to show that he can catch some of those intermediate routes to pick you up first downs. Now, I tell you who's been very, very good at doing that late has been Xavion Thomas and Aaron Anderson. So there has been a rotation of five guys. Chris has come out, and those guys have come in, give or take. But Chris has established himself, and that's why he's been the third wide receiver at the current moment for LSU.
Now, Blake, before you know it, the USC game is going to be here. And I'm always intrigued, you know, like, okay, who's All-American? Expectations. We all know, you look at LSU, the Associated Press, you had offensive tackle Will Campbell. Then you got linebacker Harold Perkins. Have you done a little homework, or I don't even know who this is. I mean, I don't know enough. I just read something for USC. Zachariah Branch, he ended up being second-team All-American.
He can run.
All-purpose. So I think they'll try and get his hands on the ball. I don't know. Look, at second-team All-American, all-purpose player. So Zachariah Branch, Mike, what can you and Blake tell me about this guy? Because, I mean, he has to be a stud.
You get the ball in his hands, and he can run. Now, as a receiver – man, last year, if you threw him three passes, you were fortunate he could catch two. But he is a big play athlete. Man, can he run? The problem with him is, man, I hate to say, he tries to run before he catches the ball.
Okay.
He's always looking downfield for the big play. Now, has he gotten better there? We're fixing to find out, because I think they're going to test LSU secondary with him. Blake?
Without question. And here's another thing, too, Bobby. USC was number one in the country last year in block punts. Their receivers had all three of them.
Yep.
He almost had the fourth one because he wasn't a returner. They went punt team personnel where they had no returner, and he almost blocked a punt against Cal. This kid is a playmaker. It's kind of like Harold Perkins in a way at wide receiver. This kid, put him out there, he'll make plays for you.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, that kid, we're not going to face many teams where you don't have the best athlete on any team. And I mean like Will or Perkins or anything. Right. When you play USC, he's going to be the best athlete on the field. I think that when it comes down to it, he's going to be the best player that we see on the outside.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem.
Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Blake.
Y'all have a good day, man.
All right, and Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers. And, again, a lot of people think that's going to be an over game, and I can understand why with the way USC can put up points and so can LSU. We'll be back with our triple option feature right after this, Blake, here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and we're joined by Steve Geller in this segment. It's our triple option feature. Bobby J, you first.
Well, I'm going to do like kind of birthday triple option. I guess I'm still kind of celebrating my birthday, August 19. I look at August 20, August 21st. Boy, there's a lot of like studly athletes, especially today. You know, if you look at yesterday, August 20, now he's not an athlete, but a promoter. Who doesn't know Don King? Remember that hair? I mean, he's still famous. That cat's 93 years old. Don King is still living.
Does he still have the hair like that?
I'm sure he does. It maybe might be a little thinner, obviously. And then I mentioned Robbie Plant, Led Zeppelin. You know, I'm a Zeppelin fan. He's 76, while we're all getting older. But the reason why I bring that up, in 1920, I said this yesterday. I want to bring it up again. American Professional Football Conference was established. Then they had four teams. And then it would be renamed the NFL, National Football League, 2 years later. So the reason why I remember that, and always remember that, on August the 20th, after my birthday, because I signed the largest signing bonus in NFL history 63 years later in 1985. I didn't mention that yesterday. I said, I'm going to mention that today. But then you look at today, August 21st. How about these studly athletes? Mike, you know this one. I won a Super Bowl right here in New Orleans for the Kansas City Chiefs and Hank Stram. One of the greatest linebackers. Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Lanier. 79 years of age.
Man, Willie was a great player. And
what's his nickname? Honey Bear or something like that? He was like Sugar Bear or something. Willie Lanier. You talk about sideline to sideline? He wasn't missing no damn time.
Coach Stram said, okay, when we scouted him, we weren't sure where we were going to play him. Well, we're going to play him on the outside. He had played some tight end, some fullback. He said, you know, back then everybody had a fullback.
Right.
He said, man, the first day of practice, he played middle linebacker. He said, I told my defensive coordinator, don't worry about him being anywhere else. Becomes the guy. Him, Bobby Bell, Jim Lynch.
Oh, God, yeah, it's unbelievable. And ended up being a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Willie Lanier. Now, anytime, okay, how about two-time Heisman Trophy winner was born on this day? Archie Griffin, 70 years of age, Ohio State.
Two-time.
Yeah, not one Heisman, two Heismans. Archie Griffin, now he was okay as a pro with the Bengals. Mike, I think he played 7 or 8 years. But at Ohio State, you win two Heismans, that's saying a lot. And one of the craziest quarterbacks that I ever met, and he's still alive. Now, I don't know where he is mentally, but he's still alive. Jim McMahon.
Oh.
He's a year older than I. He's 65 today. He got hit in the head a few times. But Jim McMahon's birthday is today. And then to me, the world's fastest human being ever, because he won three straight Olympic gold medals. You know, 100 meter, 200 meter, and all that, how fast. Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt's birthday is today. And now he's only 38.
Okay, I was like, how old can he be now?
I guarantee he's still fast. Even though, you know,
you can guarantee he's fast.
He ain't fat. I mean, he's 38 years old. I guarantee he still can hit it and get it. But, you know, that's when you look at, boy, that's sustained success. You the best in the world for three Olympics? You're talking about 12 years. Ooh, a dozen years. That's a lot of time. So a lot of famous people born on this day: Willie Lanier, Archie Griffin, McMahon, Usain Bolt. I just thought that was interesting.
Steve?
Guys, over to the NFL. Sean Payton has his QB for week one. When asked why he chose rookie Bo Nix for the job, Payton said, the larger body of work, I would say a lot of the off-schedule movement throws, and I think he's been consistent. It's not really a reflection on Jarrett Stidham or even Zach Wilson. It's some of the things Nix has been able to do pretty quickly. His arm strength down the field, all the things when you evaluated him, you kind of trust your instincts. Now, Denver selected Nix with the number 12 pick in the 2024 NFL Draft as the sixth quarterback off the board behind Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., and J.J. McCarthy. Now we'll see if Nix is still that guy for Payton come week seven in the Superdome in week against the Saints.
Well, the only thing about Bo Nix, now I think Sean said this. Y'all could correct me if this one coming from Sean, but he says, reminds him, or he's like the next Drew Brees.
Yeah,
stretching it pretty good.
He has to do it first.
Well, he also called Taysom Hill, you know, the next Steve Young.
Not so fast. I don't know, maybe trying to speak confidence into them. But hey, Bo Nix might be. I don't know, he has to go do it first.
Right, we shall see.
But to say Bo Nix is on Drew Brees' level, I tell Sean Payton, Coach Payton, slow your roll. He got to go do it first.
I just laugh, too. As you know, people get way too overexcited from preseason highlights, and folks are dying over what Nix has been doing.
The only thing I can tell Bo is he better – I know he's got a thick hide. because Sean's going to chew his butt.
Well, you know what's crazy? Now, this is my opinion, or I think how I look at things, and it's how you handle adversity as a young player. Now, kind of opposite, what does Bo Nix and Isaiah Foskey have in common? Would you ever have thought when Bo Nix was at Auburn he would turn out the way he is now?
No. Nope.
What? Mike, he was like terrible. Is that the same guy that went to Oregon? He's just unbelievable for the Oregon Ducks. And look where he's at now with the Broncos. Well, the opposite with Foskey. He was dominant at Notre Dame. Is that the same guy that was dominant at Notre Dame, setting all kind of records, playing for the Saints? So you never know, Mike, how you handle adversity. Well, what do you take those next steps? How do you grow? Or are you a late bloomer? Because you could be a stud in college, but are you going to be a stud in the pros?
Can be
you
a, can stud be a stud in high school.
Or are you going to be a stud in college? It's a continuous process. But Bo Nix, that, I don't know if I've ever seen a story like success story. Would he, how from Auburn to Oregon, Mike, I was like, is that the same guy? Oh, yeah, it is the same guy. Because Mike, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know. He couldn't do it against SEC talent.
Yeah, but it might have been more to offense and what they were doing. And he just might have been a late bloomer, how you mature
or
and all that.
Somebody playing to his strengths.
Right, right. And I think Sean Payton will do that. That's one thing.
Exactly. Piggybacking a little bit off of Steve, the Tampa Bay Bucks opened the season their first 3 weeks. Week one, Washington. Commanders, Jaden Daniels, rookie quarterback. Week two, they play Detroit. Now, that's a tough game for Tampa Bay or anybody else. Week three, guess who they play? Bo Nix, Denver Broncos. Two of the first three games against rookie quarterbacks.
Go Broncos.
Are you a Broncos fan, Steve?
No, just saying week three against Tampa.
No, he's pulling for that. But good luck with that, Steve. I don't think that's going to work. That's it for our triple option feature. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two right after this break. Finishing off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Blake Ruffino for joining us talking LSU Tigers. Steve, what you got in the 6 o'clock hour?
We're going to be talking to Greg Oman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. Get the latest and greatest of what's going on with Atlanta, Tampa, and Carolina's training camps. We'll also dip into the training camp sound bank. We got Dennis Allen and also some audio from Juwan Johnson last night. The tight end is back, so want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, they're counting on him. And again,
for a show.
If you can get the tight end involved, that 45 to 52 catches is in his range.
Well, Mike, to me, I'd be extremely disappointed if you don't have at least 45 catches. I'm looking maybe 60 to 70. Because you know why? Even if the offensive line sucks, you can get rid of the ball faster to tight end.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWO. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And we're joined by Steve Geller in this segment. It's our triple option feature. Bobby J, you first.
Well, I'm going to do like kind of birthday triple option. I guess I'm still kind of celebrating my birthday, August 19. I look at August 20th, August 21st. Boy, there's a lot of like studly athletes, especially today. You know, if you look at yesterday, August 20th, now he's not an athlete, but a promoter. Who doesn't know Don King? Remember that hair? I mean, he's still famous. That cat's 93 years old. Don King is still living.
Does he still have the hair like that?
I'm sure he does. It maybe might be a little thinner, obviously. And then I mentioned Robbie Plant, Led Zeppelin. You know, I'm a Zeppelin fan. He's 76, but we're all getting older. But the reason why I bring that up, in 1920, I said this yesterday. I want to bring it up again. American Professional Football Conference was established. Then they had four teams. And then it would be renamed the NFL, National Football League, 2 years later. So the reason why I remember that, and I always remember that, on August the 20th after my birthday, because I signed the largest signing bonus in NFL history 63 years later in 1985. I didn't mention that yesterday, so I'm going to mention that today. But then you look at today, August 21st. How about these studly athletes? Mike, you know this one. I won a Super Bowl right here in New Orleans for the Kansas City Chiefs and Hank Stram. Willie one of the greatest Lanier. Linebackers. Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Lanier. 79 years of age.
Man, Willie was a great player. And
what's his nickname? Like Honey Bear or something like that? He was like Sugar Bear or something. Willie Lanier, you talk about sideline to sideline? He wasn't missing no damn time.
Coach Stram said, okay, when we scouted him, we weren't sure where we were going to play him. Well, we're going to play him on the outside. He had played some tight end, some fullback. He said, you know, back then everybody had a fullback.
Right, right.
He said, man, the first day of practice he played middle linebacker. He said, I told my defensive coordinator, Don't worry about him being anywhere else. Becomes the guy. Him, Bobby Bell, Jim Lynch.
Oh, God, yeah, it's unbelievable. It ended up being a Pro Football Hall of Fame with Willie Lanier. Now, anytime, okay, how about two-time Heisman Trophy winner was born on this day? Archie Griffin, 70 years of age, Ohio State.
Two-time.
Yeah, not one Heisman, two Heismans. Archie Griffin, now he was okay as a pro with the Bengals. Mike, I think he played 7 or 8 years. But at Ohio State, you win two Heismans, that's saying a lot. And one of the craziest quarterbacks that I ever met, and he's still alive. Now, I don't know where he is mentally, but he's still alive. Jim McMahon.
Oh.
He's a year older than I. He's 65 today. He got hit in the head a few times. But Jim McMahon's birthday is today. And then to me, the world's fastest human being ever, because he won 3 straight Olympic gold medals, 100 meter, 200 meter, and all that, how fast? Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt's birthday is today. And now he's only 38.
Okay, I was like, how old can he be now?
I guarantee he's still fast. Even though,
you can guarantee he's fast.
He ain't fat. I mean, he's 38 years old. I guarantee he still can hit it and get it. But, that's when you look at, boy, that's sustained success. You the best in the world for 3 Olympics? You're talking about 12 years. Ooh, a dozen years. That's a lot of time. So a lot of famous people born on this day. Willie Lanier, Archie Griffin, McMahon, Usain Bolt. I just thought that was interesting.
Steve?
Guys, over to the NFL. Sean Payton has his QB for week one. When asked why he chose rookie Bo Nix for the job, Payton said, "The larger body of work, I would say a lot of the off-schedule movement throws, and I think he's been consistent. It's not really a reflection on Jarrett Stidham or even Zach Wilson. It's some of the things Nix has been able to do pretty quickly. His arm strength down the field, all the things when you evaluated him, you kind of trust your instincts." Now, Denver selected Nix with the number 12 pick in the 2024 NFL Draft as the 6th quarterback off the board behind Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., and J.J. McCarthy. Now we'll see if Nix is still that guy for Payton come week 7 in the Superdome in week against the Saints.
Well, the only thing about Bo Nix, now I think Sean said this. Y'all could correct me if this one coming from Sean, but he says, reminds him, or he's like the next Drew Brees?
Yeah,
stretching it pretty good.
He has to do it first.
Well, remember Taysom Hill, the next Steve Young.
Not so fast. so I don't know, maybe trying to speak confidence into them. But hey, Bo Nix might be. I don't know, he has to go do it first.
Right, we shall see.
But to say Bo Nix is on Drew Brees' level, I tell Sean Payton, Coach Payton, slow your roll. He got to go do it first.
I just laugh, too. As you know, people get way too overexcited from preseason highlights, and folks are dying over what Nix has been doing.
One thing I can tell Bo is he better – I know he's got a thick hide because Sean's going to chew his butt.
Well, you know what's crazy? Now, this is my opinion, or I think how I look at things, and it's how you handle adversity as a young player. Now, kind of opposite, what does Bo Nix and Isaiah Foskey have in common? Would you ever have thought when Bo Nix was at Auburn he would turn out the way he is now?
No. Nope.
What? Mike, he was like terrible. Is that the same guy that went to Oregon? He's just unbelievable for the Oregon Ducks. And look where he's at now with the Broncos. Well, the opposite with Foskey. He was dominant at Notre Dame. Is that the same guy that was dominant at Notre Dame, setting all kind of records, playing for the Saints? So you never know, Mike, how you handle adversity. Well, what do you take those next steps? How do you grow? Or are you a late bloomer? Because you could be a stud in college, but are you going to be a stud in the pros?
You can be a stud in high school.
Are you going to be a stud in college? It's a continuous process. But Bo Nix, I don't know if I've ever seen a story like success story. How from Auburn to Oregon, Mike, I was like, is that the same guy? Oh, yeah, it is the same guy. Mike, it was unbelievable.
He couldn't do it against SEC talent.
Yeah, but it might have been more to offense and what they were doing. And he just might have been a late bloomer, how you mature
or
and all that.
Somebody playing to his strengths.
Right. And I think Sean Payton will do that. That's one thing.
Exactly. Piggybacking a little bit off of Steve, the Tampa Bay Bucks opened the season their first 3 weeks. Week one, Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, rookie quarterback. Week two, they play Detroit. Now, that's a tough game for Tampa Bay or anybody else. Week three, guess who they play? Bo Nix, Denver Broncos. 2 of the first 3 games against rookie quarterbacks.
Go Broncos.
You a Broncos fan, Steve?
No, just saying week three against Tampa.
No, he's pulling for that. But good luck with that, Steve. I don't think that's going to work. That's it for our triple option feature. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two right after this break. Finishing off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to thank Blake Ruffino for joining us talking LSU Tigers. Steve, what you got in the 6 o'clock hour?
Going to be talking to Greg Oman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. Get the latest and greatest of what's going on with Atlanta, Tampa, and Carolina's training camps. We'll also dip into the training camp sound bank. We've got Dennis Allen and also some audio from Juwan Johnson last night. The tight end is back, so I want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, they're counting on him. And again,
for sure.
If you can get the tight end involved, that 45 to 52 catches is in his range.
Well, Mike, to me, I'd be extremely disappointed if you don't have at least 45 catches. I'm looking maybe 60 to 70. Because you know what? Even if the offensive line sucks, you can get rid of the ball faster to tight end.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Blake Ruffino for joining us talking LSU Tigers. Steve, what you got in the 6 o'clock hour?
Going to be talking to Greg Oman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. Get the latest and greatest of what's going on with Atlanta, Tampa, and Carolina's training camps. We'll also dip into the training camp sound bank. We got Dennis Allen and also some audio from Juwan Johnson last night. The tight end is back, so I want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, they're counting on him. And again,
for sure.
If you can get the tight end involved, that 45 to 52 catches is in his range.
Well, Mike, to me, I'd be extremely disappointed if you don't have at least 45 catches. I'm looking maybe 60 to 70. Because you know what? Even if the offensive line sucks, you can get rid of the ball faster to tight end.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.